Good afternoon and thank you for your company here on Triple UFM, Shoalhaven Community Radio. I'm Ken Joyce and we'll be listening to some Christian music over the next couple of hours. And in addition to that, I've got Matthew Pickering who's joined us this afternoon. And I'm going to ask him a few questions and get to know him a bit better. And if you've got questions for Matt while we're talking, well, by all means, send them in. But I'll have to take them by email. And if you email them to onair@triple-u.org.au, that's onair one word, at triple-u.org.au. And I'll check the emails regularly, and if you've got a question for Matt, then I'll pass them on to him. Well, Matt, thanks very much for coming in and joining us here at Triple U.
My pleasure, Ken.
I was wondering, I haven't mentioned the fact that you are your reason for being in Nowra at the moment is because you're the minister at All Saints Church, but you haven't been living in Nowra all your life. I wonder if you could give us a bit of background, how, where you come from and how you got here.
Sure. So we are at All Saints, which is on the corner of Berry and Plunkett. Been there for a long time. I've only been there for 3.5 years. We came up here most nearly from Melbourne, but our background's on the south coast. We lived up in Wollongong for some time. And why did I come to Nowra? Well, we love the south coast, full stop. But more importantly, it's an exciting place to be a Christian preacher. It's an exciting place to be part of a church. It's real, isn't it? Nowra's the real thing. And, yeah, it's great.
Well, I'm sure all our listeners will agree with you. Mm. They like the Shoalhaven as well. Mm. Well, why come to Nowra as a Christian minister?
Well, I was invited. That's part of the reason. Look, I love the things that our church does. We believe that we need to be a church to the community as it is, and our church is particularly engaged with, say, for instance, nursing homes, caring for people in those, spending time reading the Bible and praying and sitting down, looking people in the eye, asking them about their lives and listening carefully. We have chaplains in the hospital. We have a wonderful thing called All Saints Community Care, which provides emergency relief. We've got terrific work in the schools and the local Nowra Anglican School as well, but the state schools involved with that. There's more, of course, but it's a church which is engaged at the ground with the people as they are.
Right. Well, what about you in particular? Why become a minister?
Well, that happened very early. I was not raised Christian, and I don't blame my parents for that, but they did their best, but they raised us the way they knew us. So Christianity was a non-issue. But at about year 10 at school, I started to think the world, as I understood it in myself, wasn't satisfying and didn't meet the needs that I thought were real. I first heard someone explain the gospel, which just means the good news about Jesus Christ, and I thought, man, that makes sense, that there's a world that has been created by God and it's beautiful with great capacities, that sin, rebellion against God has happened, was pretty obvious to me and pretty much everyone I knew. But the big one, that he loved us, that God loved us and proved that because Jesus came down and fronted us, and having fronted us, paid for sins, that fit everything that I'd been thinking beforehand. And I also went to the Billy Graham Crusade in 1979, and that was just wonderful. I didn't go down the front. I'm a bit stubborn in that regard, but a short time later, I became a Christian, and I figured at that time, you know, the best thing I can do with my life is to preach or speak about what has happened, and that's, 33 years ago, I think. At the time, my friend said, I give it 3 weeks and he'll be over that. But 33 years later, here I am.
And you're satisfied you're doing the right thing? You haven't regretted the decision?
Sometimes it's been hard. Standing firm for Christ sometimes raises difficulties in life. And there have been times my family's had to pay a cost for the things that I've undertaken. But regrets. I've got an Emmylou Harris song to play later called "No Regrets." No, I have no regrets. I'd be very, very glad to get to the end of my days and say I spent them pointing to Jesus Christ with the Bible open. Yep.
Can Can you give us an example of one of the hard things that's involved with being a minister, clergyman?
Yes. St. Paul said that there's no foundation to the church except for Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that Christians are to follow Jesus Christ by taking up their cross. Well, that means at times, Ken, that there'll be times you want to protect your own ego or protect yourself, and you need to submit that and say, it's not me that's important, it's Jesus Christ. Sometimes you'll find yourself in situations where more is asked of you than you can deliver in yourself, and you have to turn to Jesus and ask for his help in that regard, and that takes faith and confidence. And frankly, mate, sometimes just really sad things happen. And some people say that there's no answer to suffering. I don't believe that. I think that Jesus is the answer to suffering. But that takes time and faith and praying and waiting, doesn't it, sometimes?
Right.
Yeah.
You say you turn to Jesus and he helps you.
Yes.
So can you explain that to people? That sounds a bit vague to a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, let's put legs on that. Jesus helps you. He has made promises, and one of the most powerful promises he's made, apart from the fact that he will deliver us to his Holy Father as brothers and sisters, another most powerful promise is that he gives us the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Bible that there is a fruit to the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, they're remarkable things. They're wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And as you describe those in anyone's life, having those things work out by Jesus' promise means that you can endure and you can forgive and you can look forward and you can be resilient and you can hope. Yeah.
Those are certainly characteristics which aren't easy to drag up from within yourself.
No, humans don't work them up very well. No.
I think a bit of self-control could go down well with me most of the time. So you found a purpose, if you like, then in your life in actually fulfilling this role. This is something that you felt quite strongly about.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we did. I met a wonderful woman, and we got married very young. My father said it was a mistake. He was wrong. It was a good choice. She also loves Jesus, and both of us wanted to serve him best we could. Because we were young, that wasn't obvious how we'd do that. So we went and we joined an organisation called Cornerstone Community, and we spent 2 years up in central Queensland working on a farm there and church planting up in the coal mine areas of central Queensland. Then we went down to Wagga and spent 2 years as a pastor at a church there. And during that time, preaching every week was a real challenge, and I realised I needed to go to theological college, which is a college dedicated to studying the Bible, learning original languages and other things. So I went and did that and became an Anglican minister in 1990. Mm-hmm. And the rest has been history. We've been here and there and all over.
Right. So you've been in other Anglican churches since 1990 then?
Yes, DAPDO. Wonderful times in DAPDO. Been up at a school at North Sydney called Shaw School, where I was a chaplain. Extraordinary times at a place called Ostermere, northern beaches of Wollongong. They were great days. Really brave church who sold the existing church and bought an RSL club and transformed it into a wonderful building, but wasn't just about building, built a wonderful church of people as well. We had some time in the Solomon Islands and some time down in Melbourne, and here we are in Nowra.
Right. Well, welcome to Nowra. Now, you've got some music tracks that you brought in, and I was wondering if you'd like to tell us about your first of your selection, and let's hear it.
Yeah, well, the first one I've got is a song by Brandy Carlile, which is called The Story. And the reason why I love it is because it really is, if you listen to the lyrics, she's saying, the story of my life can't be told except for you. And this is in praise of my wife, really. I don't suppose you can play it at a funeral, can you? But I'll make sure that she knows that this is from me to her.
Thank you. close my face, tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been, and now I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you've got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue. I crossed over land and I broke all rules, and baby, I broke them all for you. Oh, because even when I was flat broke, you made me feel like a million bucks. You knew I was made for you. Hiding the words that don't come out. All of my friends who think that I'm blessed, they don't know my head is a mess. No, they don't know who I really am, and they don't know what I've been through like you do. And now
my visitor in the studio today is Matt Pickering, the minister at the All Saints Church in Nowra, and he just played us a track there, and he had a reason for playing it. Before he played it, we were talking about his wife, and I got the impression that you're very pleased to have met her.
Yes. Yeah, I've done some really dumb things in my life, but I've done some really smart ones, and marrying Anne was a smart one. I'm grateful to God and her.
Mm. You have children?
I do. I have three children. I have a 22-year-old daughter and 17-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. Mm. Boys here in town, and the daughter's boarding down in Melbourne.
Right. Now, family is very important, and marriage is, of course, a basis for most of our lives.
Yeah.
And marriage has been a bit in the news lately with the way in which the vows could be said in an Anglican service. Would you like to talk to us about your marriage in general, and those particular issues?
Yeah, I would. Look, the passage that was under discussion was a bit in Ephesians, where Paul says that wives are to submit to their husbands, which is a tough call, but it's in the context of husbands being asked to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Now, if you've been around preaching for a while and read the Bible a bit, you'll know the way that Christ loved the church was to give up all his rights, all his prerogatives, and to give up his life. So the husband's got a tough calling there, doesn't he? And it's hard to imagine that a husband who's loving his wife that way is going to need to very often say, listen, do what I tell you because I tell you. But we live in a society and a culture where, look, the truth is domestic violence is a real problem. And we Bible preachers, don't want there to be any confusion. Women are not chattel, and they're equal and loved, and they're not to be told what to do just because you want to tell them, and they're certainly not to be harmed. And I feel that quite passionately. So, yeah, I want to say to people who were caught up in that argument, we Christians believe that submission, saying no to self and yes to another person in love for the sake of Christ, is the highest calling you can have. But if you don't have that commitment, you don't have the right to tell people what to do.
Mm. It's certainly a very high, challenging thing to say. I mean, submitting on the one hand, but for a husband to give up his life for his wife as Christ gave up his for the church, do you think many of us manage that?
Oh, well, when you make your marriage commitments, as my wife and I did, we said that we'd be in it for life. And most people live reasonably long lives, which means you've got time to work on it, don't you? Mm. And you can learn things every week, every day about doing that. And there's forgiveness. Yeah. So if you committed to a thing, no matter what, whether you're sick, whether you're poor, whether you've been disappointed, whether you've been hurt, I'm in there, I'm not leaving, then that's a good context for being able to keep pursuing love, isn't it?
So if the problems can be solved, you're much better off than walking away with them unsolved.
That's my belief, but it's not my personal belief. It's my belief in what the Bible teaches, yeah.
So the Bible actually tells us about being married and having families?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I know this is going to cause grief for some people, but here's what the Bible teaches. One man, one woman, leave their families, join together for life. Now, as soon as I've said that, I know that that's going to offend people, some people, in all sorts of ways, so I want to say a couple of things. The heart of Christian faith and belief is that we need to be forgiven and that we are forgiven. So I want to say to people who say, yeah, but what about me? I had to leave my marriage because it was abusive, or I wished I hadn't now, but I did in the circumstances. I would say, hey, Jesus is the king of second chances, and he understands. There's a thing where it says that Jesus knows the reasons of the heart. He knows what people are going through. He's not a headmaster waving a stick around. However, he does tell us the best way to live. And so that's where we aim up. And I said to you, I've done a lot of stupid things. Paul said at one point that he was the worst of sinners, and he wasn't exaggerating. If you know your own heart, you don't come to be judgmental. But that's not the same as saying, therefore, it doesn't matter that Jesus never said anything about marriage, because he did. And that's it. One man, one woman for life.
That raises, there's the one man and one woman, that raises the other question that's fairly popular in the discussions nowadays, as far as the marriage of people of homosexuals.
Yeah.
This view of yours, does that make you homophobic?
Well, we're really getting into it now, aren't we, Ken?
Well, it's commonly said.
It's an important question, it is. Look, when we were at Austinmere at the church there, we had some friends across the road, a female couple, homosexual couple. And they were great people, and they were brave enough and gracious enough for me to get to know them and for them to get to know me. And at one point when I was talking with them, they had tears in their eyes as they asked. They said, what do you really think of us? That's a brave question, isn't it? Because I guess they're thinking, I'm going to say, well, actually, you make me sick and you know, you're a failure and God hates you. But I also teared up and said, I love you guys. You know, I love you guys. And that's my message. There are people in my family who are homosexual. If you ask them, if you said, Matt's a Christian minister. What's his attitude to you? They would say, he loves us. He loves us. That's the gospel message. However, if they said, does he think what you're doing is right? They would say, he thinks there's probably a better way, but he loves us.
Yeah. Right. So you're not a homophobe.
It would be awful for me to be a homophobe because, as I said, members of my family are homosexual, and being fearful of them or hating them would be appalling, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah.
But you can still not agree that their lifestyle is the best one for them.
I can urge a better way. Well, we chatted a little bit about families. My mum died about 6 months ago, and I'm the eldest in the family, and we weren't a perfect family. We got, you know, skeletons in the closet. I found that as the eldest member of the family, with the responsibilities that come with that, and being the Christian in the outfit, I found that we really did come together very closely. I never gave up preaching the things that I preach because I believe that Jesus has given them. But they were able to see that what I was extending was grace and love and acceptance. We became much closer through that process. I take a lot of funerals down here in the Shoalhaven, and they're sad things, of course, and I try and take every funeral as though it was my mum, my brother, my dad. I'm not careless with them when I say this. They are precious times for us to say what really matters to us, what's going to count in the end. And so I'm pleading with anyone who's listening, get your family sorted out, get them sorted out, and bring love and grace into those relationships. That'll please Jesus.
Right. We'll just take a short break and then we'll come.
From North Narra to Narrawolly.
Fresh and funky.
Ken Joyce, Triple U 104.5 with a message.
We make choices every day, but Billy Graham reminds us that some choices are more important than others.
We have to choose between the truth and the lie. The truth of Jesus Christ, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, but no man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, then there's the lie of Satan. His lie will lead you ultimately to judgment and hell. That's a choice we all have to make. And you could make that choice today. How do you make it? First, repent of your sins. That means that you are willing to say to God, I'm sorry I've sinned. I'm willing to turn from my sins. And then you turn to Jesus Christ by faith and receive him into your heart.
This is the most important choice you'll ever make. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. For a free booklet on what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, call us on 1-300-799-727 or click billygraham.org.
Talking to Matthew Pickering, the Minister of All Saints Church in Narra, and Matt was talking about the loss of his mother and taking funerals, which we know that ministers do, but there's a point to it too. Matt, Ronnie, if you've got another track you'd like to play for us and why you would select it.
Yeah, Mindy Smith, beautiful singer. She's got a song called Come to Jesus, and it's about, you'll hear what it's about, but for my family and for the people that I know and people that I deal with, this is my song for them.
By my door, standing at your bedside to keep you calm, keep you safe away from harm.
A good invitation for you. And we're talking to Matt Pickering, who's the minister at the Anglican Church in Nowra. And, well, he let us know earlier on that he likes being in Nowra. What is it about Nowra that appeals to you?
Mate, can I be serious? We've got the world's greatest rugby ground down the south there, Shoalhaven Rugby Park. We've got an extraordinary war memorial up at the showground, but better still, we've got two McDonald's, we've got two Subways, we've got two Kentucky Frieds. Who else can brag about having their own several golf courses, racetrack, speedway, dog track? We've got everything, haven't we? Everything.
All laid on.
Mm.
Not to mention the escarpment and Jervis Bay.
And one of the things I really like about living here is that there's shape all the time and you can always see something. You're not living in a box. You can always see what's happening around you. And we actually live on a five-acre block, very fortunate. It's just a dirt block. It's nothing pretty. But the birds and the trees and the rhythms, love it. Love it.
Right. So it's all fun and games for you then. That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, not quite, although it is lots of fun and games. It really is a special thing to live down here with all those benefits. But, you know, there's a harder edge to living here, don't you? People talk about it being the end of the line, and we have our own particular challenges, and as I talked about, as a church, we want to take them on. We have a lot of retired people here. Imagine how tough they're doing with interest rates at the moment. And we have stack of nursing homes, so people who are losing mobility and power and access, wondering what's going to become of them. We've got people down here with homelessness issues that we deal with all the time as a church. And it doesn't take much for a few things to go wrong before people are pretty desperate. And I don't mean to sound like a predator. I don't feel that way, because often dealing with those things is very challenging. But I just love the fact that I live in a place where we're not pretending to be middle class. We're not avoiding the world as it is. We're seeking to say to people, we believe that Jesus loves you and we love you and we don't judge you. We don't know what you've been through. Can I tell you a story?
Please do.
Yeah. I was outside one of the cafes. I was sitting in one of the cafes here in town. And by the way, we have some great cafes too. Mm. Sitting in there, and there was a fellow who was very drunk, so drunk in fact that when he fell over he wasn't defending himself and he was cracking his head, and it was just awful to watch that. And I went out to help him, and at times when I was holding him he was aggressive, and other times he was thankful. Eventually the ambulance came to get him, but while I was holding him at one point, as well as he was able in his really problematic state, he said to me, "You don't know what I've been through." And I said to him, "Brother, I don't know what you've been through. I really don't. I don't judge you. I just want you to know that I care for you and that Jesus loves you." Now, that's the real thing, and that's Nowra. Having said that, we got some really powerful and well-to-do people with lots of other challenges in life, don't we? Nowra's not a dive, but, yeah. I love that, and that our church is heavily involved in that. And you know, and one last thing, I'm really grateful that we've got a prison. Not because I want people to be in prison, but because it was so hard for families to get up into Sydney and down into Goulburn, and I'm glad that prison has come here. I know that's something that's going to stir some people up, but I'm also glad that we're able to care. We've got chaplains in there. And I think it's a good thing that it's here for a lot of reasons.
Mm. I did mention earlier that if people want to email in a question, and it could be that some of the things that Matt's talking about have raised questions in your mind. Well, if you'd like to email in, please do. It's at onair@triple-u.org.au. Spelling it out in words, triple-u.org.au. Now, Matt, we touched a couple of curly questions in earlier. You mentioned there's elderly people, people in nursing homes, people in very frail state.
Mm.
And it's only in this last week the question of euthanasia has come up again.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have any thoughts on that question.
Yeah, I do. Oh, man, is it hard for families to watch someone that they love who's terminally ill, and they know that they are, and just this week very close friends of ours have been through that experience, and it's very harrowing. I understand that, yet I do believe that there's a God in heaven who knows us, and he knows our circumstances, that we can cry out to him and pray for those who are in strife in those ways. And so I'm opposed to euthanasia. I think that we've got wonderful, wonderful medical staff. Palliative care in New South Wales, which is where I know, is exceptional. I know that people despair. The Bible teaches very clearly that there will be storms of life. They will be, and they will be hard, but that Jesus will be with us in them. Jesus himself suffered a harrowing death, and he knew that it was coming, and he put himself into the hands of the Lord Jesus. But I'm not careless about this, Ken. I realise that it is a very, very difficult thing. But if there's a God in heaven and he loves us and he made us and he knows us, we need to trust him at that level. But once again, I don't judge people for the grief and the ways that they recoil from that painful experience. It is tough.
Mm.
It is tough.
Certainly is. Involved in what you're talking about there is a question of prayer.
Yes.
How do you see prayer? What's it mean to you?
Well, to me, I'll answer to me, and then I'll say what I think for others, if I can be bold enough. For me, I truly believe that when I ask things of God, He is a person who considers them and responds to them, that I'm not just talking to the roof, and that I'm not just wishful thinking out loud where God's going to do what He's going to do anyhow. And I believe that because Jesus told us that. That's where I take that lead. I also understand that some people have a low view of prayer because they've asked for things that haven't happened. They wanted them to happen. And at the most basic level, it might be you ask for an ice cream and you don't get it. But I don't mean to disparage this. Sometimes people ask for things and God's answer is no, or not yet. But I'll tell you a wonderful story. Some Christian people have a gift of healing, and Jesus was a great healer. I personally don't have a general gift of healing, but somewhere along the way, when I was taking baptisms of young children, I have prayed for children who have had asthma and who have had skin conditions, eczema in particular. And we've seen people, the little kids who I've prayed for, who the parents say it's gone and hasn't come back. What about that? Now, I believe that is God's mercy and kindness in that situation. So I'm happy to pray. But Jesus taught us to pray. He gave us the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And He Himself, when He was under most pressure, prayed. There's a story about how He had a really, really busy day, very demanding emotionally. And in order to deal with that demand, let's say to top up His emotional tanks and his spiritual tanks and His physical tanks, we're told that He went up onto a mountain and prayed and didn't come down till the next day. So prayer for Jesus was also powerfully important. Yeah, we take His lead on that.
So you're not taking credit for these prayers that seem to get answered? But
look, if you're sick and you've got me or the hospital, go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I'll pray for you up there, and I'll pray for the medical staff to do the things that they do with the wisdom that God's given them and with all the benefits we have of living in this outstanding country. But I still ask for the things I'd like from Jesus. And when you're dealing with little children and they're sick, it makes sense to pray. And I'm saying to you, no credit to me. Mm. Jesus has answered those prayers. Yep.
Mm. Well, that's an encouraging thing then. We would encourage people to go right ahead and pray.
Yes.
And then let's see what God does with their prayer. And quite often they might be pleased to find it's answered and give God thanks for that.
Yeah, take the risk of waiting for the answer. Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if you've got another track.
I do. And now, people who know me know that there are a few things I love, and one of them is Led Zeppelin. And when my children were still in the womb, I encouraged my wife to sit on the speakers of our sound system so that I could play Led Zeppelin to them in the womb. And whatever effect that had, I'm not sure exactly, but they love Led Zeppelin. And I've got a quiet one here to play. This is the only Led Zeppelin recording that I know of where they had a guest singer come and join them. It's a song called The Battle of Evermore. Thank you.
Matt Pickering's choice of Led Zeppelin track, which he used to have his wife listen to while the children were still in the womb. Sounds like you're indoctrinating them with your musical choices there, Matt. Have you been indoctrinating your children all through their lives?
I've been an influencer of them all through their lives, both to share the things that I like, because I like them and they're my kids, But the music things, that's okay. They have very similar tastes in music to me, and I'm thrilled about that because we have to listen to the same music in the same car. But seriously, indoctrinating kids, yeah, that's that could be a problem, couldn't it? Especially for Christian people who have a strong view of how things should be. So let me tell you that precisely because I'm Christian, I believe that people have to make their own choice. That in fact, God's given us not only that right, but that responsibility. So teach, indoctrinate, I'm not sure, but one of the things I've taught my kids as we're coming up, as they're raising them up, is not only do I believe that Jesus loves you, but that's got to become yours. You have to make choices. And I want to encourage you in them and urge you in them. So interestingly, you know, for Anglicans, when kids get to a certain age, 15, 16, if they've been baptised as infants, we do a thing called confirmation, where they take the promises that were made for them and speak them on their own behalf. One of our children chose not to be confirmed because she wasn't certain about a few things, wasn't sure if she should make that public statement. I'm pretty sure that she would say that she was loved no less, that she was no disappointment, that et cetera, et cetera. That she's fine with that, because, you know, if these kids are going to trust Jesus Christ, it will need to be deep in their own hearts to do that. They'll have to have their own faith, their own confidence in Jesus, their own relationship with Him. You can't transfer that. And I think what I have are three feisty, self-determined children who are able to engage with questions that I've taught them about, but they now have to work out for themselves in ways that are mature and helpful. With regard to my boy, when he was born, I said to people, I don't care what sport he plays, rugby league or rugby union, it's up to him. Now, it was meant to be a joke, we teach and we give the best example we can, show them that it works, but then it's up to them.
And you respect their choices and love them nonetheless.
Must respect their choices. But let me say, Ken, you can't raise children in a vacuum. Sometimes I hear people say, well, they can decide for themselves, but that's not true. They'll look to the parents. They'll ask the parents. They'll look to their example. So when people are ambivalent about where they stand with regard to Jesus Christ and his claims and his promises, I encourage them, communicate that to your child, and do it in a way which is agnostic. That is to say, I'm not sure either way, but there is this and there's that. And that's, of course, what we're doing when we go into the schools to teach scripture and special religious education. We're going in to say to young people whose lives are very precious and whose parents have primary responsibility, we understand that. We're saying, did you know that there is this option? God in heaven, and we want to urge you to consider that. But that's why we take that up as enthusiastically as we do. And I'm sure you know, Ken, that means in primary schools that we have volunteers go into the schools here in the Shoalhaven and participate in the SRE program. But excitingly, in the Shoalhaven, we have a program called SECET, which is the Shoalhaven Employers of Christian Education Teachers. We put teachers into the state high schools, and we support that work across the churches. It's quite expensive, but we love what they do, and we pray to Jesus to give us the resources to do that. And that's an exciting part of the Shoalhaven, that the work of SECET.
So it sounds as if you're supportive of lots of activities through your church and through in the community, through things like organisations like SECET, which works across all the churches in town. And it's important that children have some information on which to make their decisions.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And asking them to make their decisions on the basis of ignorance is hardly fair.
Yeah, not fair.
And now, if someone wants to meet you...
Yes.
They're likely to find you at All Saints Anglican Church, which is in Plunkett Street.
Yep.
In Nowra. I think anybody who's been in Nowra any while at all will know it, at least by the bougainvillea growing up the pole outside.
It's not looking too healthy at the moment.
Isn't it?
No.
Dry?
Don't know why. We looked at it this morning and wished it well.
Right.
Yeah. And people would know All Saints, and we've got a website. Just type in All Saints Nowra and that'll come up and list it in the phone book. But we've talked about some interesting things today. If people wanted to take that further, I'll be at Vincentia tonight. We've got a new church out at Vincentia High School. We kick off at 6:30 and I'm preaching out there. I'll be talking about the letter of Paul to the Corinthians and do not judge. That'll be helpful.
Okay, well, somebody feels as if Christians are judging them, and you in particular, then they can take it up with you by going out to Vincentio High School.
Would love to see them. I'm the handsome man with the long beard.
Yeah. yes, he's got a good face for radio people, so go and have a look at him.
It's true.
And and of course, the services listed in your on the website.
Eight, 10 and 7 on Sundays. Wednesdays, we have a meal that starts at 6:15 and goes through to a service. So if you're having trouble getting a feed or you know someone who'd love to get a good hot meal, send them along there on Wednesdays. And Fridays at 10 a.m. each month, we have a service for people who would find it hard to come to church. We'll pick them up in a bus, and it's a traditional service of Holy Communion.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of choice and ways of meeting.
Plenty of choice.
Meeting you, Matt, and the rest of the people in your congregation. Now, I'd like to ask people one more question before we finish up, and you've got obligations, but do you have another track for us?
Yep. And I'll leave you with a track,
Yes. And then I was wondering if, as you go, what is the thing that burns at you most, the thing that you would like to say to the people in the Shoalhaven, this is the very last thing you're ever going to hear, and I want to tell it to you.
Oh, I'm absolutely certain that I can say that God loves you, because we know without a doubt that Jesus Christ came to this planet. We know without a doubt the things that he taught, the things that he said, without a doubt that he died. The challenge is, did he rise again? And we reckon we've got stacks of proof of that. Put that all together, so I want to say to people, I believe that God loves you, not because it's a sentimental feeling I have, but because of Jesus Christ, what he taught, what he said, what he did, what he promises, and how he rose again.
And that's something else you can talk to Matt about if you'd like to go and meet him.
Yes.
And you've got one more track for us. You'd like to tell us about it, and we'll finish up with that.
I just love Emmylou Harris. And this is an Emmylou Harris song. It's called No Regrets. It's about breaking up with someone, so it's not really all that sophisticated, but it's Emmylou, and she's a beauty.
And it happens.
It happens.